Welcome back. We went out with a piece from his new CD, Juneteenth, new as far as I know. And what you're hearing now is something from 1969 that Stanley Cowell did called Blues to the Viet Cong, which is something that I remember back in the day very well. And so it's a great pleasure and honor to have Stanley Cowell in the studio, one of our great jazz musicians, and here with his daughter, Sunny Cowell, who is a guitarist and songwriter. And they're both here in the studio. Good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Hello.
I'm glad your wife Sophie got in touch with us. This is good. Got to have you all in the studio. This is an honor to have you all here.
It's a pleasure.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888 and write to us here at talk@steinershow.org as we talk to this amazing two people and the work that they do. So where do we begin? I mean, I've been listening to all these CDs. I listened to your CD, Sunny, and I really love the stuff you're doing on guitar.
Thank you.
And so, but let me, you mind if I start with your dad for a minute?
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, mother she minds.
But Stanley Cowell, I mean, so you've been, I see you're also a fellow Taurian, which is good.
Oh, yeah. May 5th.
May 17th. Okay. So, but you were, I mean, you've done so much work over the years. And when I was, I mean, you played with Max Roach.
Yes.
You worked with him.
Yes.
One of the greats of all time, I think.
Yes, great mentor.
You call him a mentor, which I want to hear about. And mm-hmm. Roland Kirk you played with?
Yeah, he's from my home state. Ran into him pretty early in my career.
So, a couple questions about that, about those individuals as well. But this is a time when Sonny Rollins and all those guys and women were kind of, things with Marion Brown, things were kind of exploding. There was a new sound in jazz, and they were really taking over and defining what the future is, or defining what that time was, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious how you think that what that jazz from that moment says to us now in terms of what's coming out now.
Yeah, I think it's a similar time in terms of urban unrest. People
right.
aren't happy with the system. And the music with some of the younger artists being led primarily by the younger generation of rap and jazz. Some of the younger jazz musicians are adopting those rhythms and those attitudes too. So I think it's a similar time.
It's and, a really it's interesting that
it
way.
It may infuse the so-called JAZZ type music with some new directions. You know, just as jazz is like a Rolling Stone is gathering stuff as it rolls on and
right.
rolls on, and it picks up elements from. I mean, to stay alive, you have to pick up elements from the current moment.
Because no matter what generation you come from, that sometimes I think we think that because of the music that we played early or that we grew up with, that it's somehow static.
Yeah.
You know, saying this is the best music. This is where it is.
Yeah.
But it's always transforming.
That's true.
Right.
People hopefully will evolve with it, but you know it's hard. It's hard to do that as you get older. You get settled in your
yes,
ways.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And you get comfortable. Yeah.
So what? When you talked about Max Roach as a mentor.
Yes. Well, when I came to New York, the music was representing Archie Shepp and Sonny Murray and Rashid Ali and so-called free players. We were eschewing convention as a protest. And against everything that was going on, the assassinations of our leaders, especially Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and the urban unrest, the civil rights era, for sure. And the music needed to reflect that, at least as far as we felt. Max embraced all of that, but he had a formula for putting things back into somewhat conventional format. And all the screams and hollers of the horns ended up being in that music, but it had pulse and it swung and it was powerful.
Well,
so I credit him as a mentor in helping me get a sense of how to homogenize you know, things. That's actually not such a good word. Smooth it out.
Smooth it out, I got
but,
you.
But to incorporate, to mix things.
I was thinking of that. I think one of the albums that Max Roach did that really had a huge influence on me and on my pursuits and also in jazz was the Freedom Now Suite with Abbey Lincoln.
Yeah,
that was one of the, I think, the most important, for me anyway, pieces of work to come out.
These were civil rights statements, definitely. Not just from the man from South Africa was another one. He was involved. Mingus also had pieces like that. So they're examples.
And you've got Juneteenth.
Yeah. I finally got around to doing something.
That's an amazing piece of work.
Yeah.
I listened to it the last night when I got home late from the baseball game and before I went to the baseball game last night and a little bit this morning.
Yeah. Well, I was happy to be able to do that. French producer proposed the idea to me some time ago. And I actually wanted it to create a piece related to the Emancipation Proclamation, which we're in our 150th year.
Right.
But it ended up being a reduction. Piano, he wanted a solo piano CD. So I kind of reduced the things to be able to play it without 100 instruments, and that's what you get, the Juneteenth solo piano.
I love it. I mean, I was really very taken by it. I must admit, we'll play some more as we go along. And Sunny, so you grew up in this world, right?
Yes, I did.
So, and so music was part of your life from the beginning. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
You studied from a young age.
Right. So I started with the piano at 3, of course. My dad wanted me to. And then I realized as I got a little bit older that I was never going to compete with him on the piano. So I said, okay, well, I need to play a different instrument. And, you know, it wasn't negotiable. I had to play an instrument growing up in this family. So then my parents just said, okay, well, what about a string instrument? And I fell in love with the violin. I started violin at age 8. And then I switched over to viola when I was 12. My violin teacher said, oh, you have long arms and, you know, violas are in demand. Why don't you switch over to viola? And then that became my main instrument. And it wasn't until sometime in college, the end of college, that I started picking up the guitar and I taught myself. So, and then, you know, I always sang as well.
So you have you have your own CD out.
Right. I do have my own CD out. It came out a few weeks ago.
Insecure.
Yes.
A really nice piece.
Thank you.
Really beautiful piece. So you see your guitar is with you, and we have a keyboard, but you've got your thumb piano.
Yeah. Sonny felt that was a unique sound, and we agreed, and we do use this in performance.
Do you enjoy playing together? You must enjoy playing together.
Oh, yeah. I do very much.
Definitely.
Don't get a chance to as often.
And you'll be doing it here on the 29th of August, right?
Yes. At
Andy Musique.
And I'll be doing something the 19th of December there with my group, and Sonny is going to come and join.
Oh, very cool. I don't want to miss that one either. That's great.
Yeah, we tend to be special guests for each other.
No, that's great. And, you know, August 29th is also the 10th anniversary of Katrina.
August
29th.
29th. Yeah, okay.
That's the 10th anniversary of Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an auspicious moment given the kind of work you've produced over the years at that concert together on that particular day.
Okay, we'll have to think about
that. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
So what do you all want to, you want to grab your guitar and are you all going to do a little something for us?
Yeah, sure.
It'd be great to hear. While Sonny's getting it, I was thinking that when you worked with Hassan Roland Kirk, who was blind, that the story was always that he could tell the dollar bills denomination just by touching them. Is that real?
Well, I think he arranged them in a certain way in his pocket.
I see.
And that's something that I do too.
So you took that from him?
Yeah, I did. That's right.
Because that was always people say, oh, no, he could just touch the money, know what it was.
He was very astute in those areas. But it's all of that. I was exposed to so much, and I think my daughter, Sunny, has benefited, too, by being exposed to so many musicians in her life. She's done interviews with people like, years ago, you did one with Steve Touré.
Steve Touré.
Yeah, I would use them for projects in school as well. So it was great. I interviewed a lot of people.
What was that CD he did with the Conch Shells?
Yeah.
Right, right. That was such a. I love that, that the stuff he does with that.
That's special.
Yeah, that was just beautiful. That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Sonny also toured with me when she was like 15.
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Yeah, and we did four concerts in France, and wow. she's been on the scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now a lawyer to boot. On top of all that,
French.
Yep.
She did French television with us in New York about a couple of years ago, at the for Mezzo TV. It's like the equivalent of our FM public radio.
Right, right, they, right, right.
They did a whole hour program.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really great to have him now playing some of my songs that I've written as well, and kind of interpreting them as jazz. So now, like I said, we're kind of featuring each other, which is really nice.
What do you call your music? Do you have a?
You know, I've still been working on what I call that, but I would say it's acoustic alternative R&B.
All right. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
So I'm adapting. Although I did play R&B.
I was going to say.
Coming up, sure.
Right,
you,
right.
You know, in my generation, yeah.
That was the sound.
Yeah. And blues.
And blues. So what are y'all going to do?
Okay, so we're going to play a song entitled Here With Me. It's from my album, Insecure. It's on the EP.
Oh, right, right.
And my dad's going to play the kalimba, and I'm going to play the guitar and add some voice. Nobody can say that all things are bad whenever you're here, you're with me, with one day to ourselves, just roaming the streets, forgot all about my grief. Nobody can say that you weren't right here whenever I needed comfort. No time on our side, no weight on our hearts. You were there with me. Nobody can say that all things are bad whenever you hear you're with me, with one day to ourselves, just roaming the streets, forgot all about my grief. Nobody can say that you weren't right here whenever I needed comfort. No time on our side, no weight on our hearts. You were there with me. I don't have to call you every day to show you that what we have is special.
The piece together, your CD together, Prayer for Peace. That was something you put out together, right?
Yes, right? Yes. Sonny was wonderful on that.
Yeah, I love that piece too. I spent a lot of time the last couple of days just with the cowls in my ears.
Okay. The cowls.
Thank you.
The cowls in your ears. The cowls. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, she was playing viola on that album too.
Yeah, 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 which is a beautiful instrument. I love the viola.
Thank you.
It's
thank
a really
you.
Good instrument. Mm-hmm. So you know, the I was the first thing that popped in my head was. Just Stanley, thinking about just what how proud you must just feel of hearing Sonny do the work that she does.
Oh yeah,
as a dad, as a musician, and a dad.
I'm proud of her career as an attorney, a lawyer, and I'm doubly proud of her, her musical interest and accomplishments.
You know, it made me think of the show we did the last hour or so with my dear friend Yvonne Bellamy and others, just about some of the conditions people are facing today in this country.
Wonderful
right?
show. Wonderful
Thank you.
Dialogue
Thank you.
There.
But I was thinking of that. It made me think about you all and what the power of culture does and developing the mind and the spirit through the culture and how that just can change the whole nature of a human being, you know, and other people, not just the cows, but mm-hmm. the world. I just kept thinking about listen to the music and think about that show, and I don't know what – I haven't quite figured out where that thought pattern is going completely,
yeah.
but that's where it started, thinking about you all coming on and the work you're doing, what we just talked about.
You want to weigh in that on that, Sunny, first, or you want me?
You know, I feel like as a young person, I haven't been through that much to really talk about culture, but
you're in your mid-20s, right?
Yes.
Right.
But, I mean, we certainly have our own movements, you know, now, especially with police brutality. I heard the show, the segment before we came on. But I think that music continues to be a soapbox for musicians. And basically, musicians can say things in ways that other people can't. So I think
that's true.
Yeah.
I think too, that it has properties and healing. It can heal the soul. People have enjoyed music and responded to it for centuries. And time immemorial, it's always been a part of human activity, and most human activity is considered really culture. Music is just one of them. And increasingly, as I get older and a little wisdom, I think about people more mm-hmm. and being a human being rather than a musician for myself. And that I think it's a responsibility that you acquire the knowledge to be able to play your instrument and to communicate with people through music. But you also have to think about them to an extent. It's just not totally a one-way street.
Right, and mm-hmm. and there's also this thing I was thinking about that and not putting jazz on a pedestal, because I enjoy all genres of music and great musicians and across the board, but there's something about, at least in the much of the world of jazz, where there's an intellectualism, there's a thinking that is deep about what comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the complexity of it. I mean, yeah. It feeds into each other.
Yeah, it has evolved, and it kind of undulates back and forth. It's sort of like an art history example of how things can move between complexity and then simplicity.
Right.
And you see this happening. I see it happening even in the music. Some of the younger players are taking a different approach. They want to work. They want to communicate with people. And some of the older musicians, of course, we're caught up in perhaps the more we've developed a Ferrari-like approach to our instrument. So it's really hard, as Jimmy Heath would say, to drive around at 20 miles an hour when you got a Ferrari, right? So you really want to, you know, show your stuff. But you know, if you're doing a performance, you want to draw your audience into the music, give them a little something that they can that you can hook them with and pull them into it, and then take them on your trip. Because ultimately they came to see you for what you do.
Right.
You know, it's not totally their trip, it's your trip.
It's your trip, absolutely.
Yeah,
And you control that very well in terms of what you do out there in the world, which I think is an important way to approach it. And so how about your approach to music? I'm curious, before we run out of time here, just that what when you think of your music and what you listen to, I mean, what is your music world?
What is my music world?
Yeah.
So I guess in terms of the way I write songs, if I may talk about that, I'm a very reflective person, so most of my music is about, you know, relationships, especially the relationship I have with myself. So essentially, I keep a diary. And so that helps me with songwriting. And I go through and say, oh, well, this is an interesting theme emerging here. So for me, it's more about telling a story because, you know, I'm not just using musical instruments, but I'm using my voice as well. Mm. And then I'm influenced by a lot of different genres. So it's obviously jazz because I grew up with that. Then there's also popular genres of music, a cappella groups. I did that when I was younger. I tend to use a lot of overdubbing in my music, just pop music, basically just a lot of different genres come together. And that's why it's so hard to characterize my music. But essentially, it's my music tends to be very reflective and it's healing for me personally. And that's why I write.
I the work you do, you can clearly hear the stuff you like to listen to, and you grew up in this classical jazz world,
right?
Which people always think is separate. I'm running out of time, which is unfortunate. But that people think is separate, but I don't. I had this discussion with folks at the BSO where we're talking about how can they broaden the black audience, which I think is an important thing for them to deal with. But because we separate this thing as if there's no relationship between classical and jazz, or even R&B and classical, even hip-hop and classical. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That somehow these are worlds apart. They're not worlds apart. Mm-hmm. They're connected.
Sure. Well, we have been attending some of the BSO concerts.
Yeah.
And noticed the melding of different cultural elements
there.
Yeah. And orchestras, you know, have kind of isolated themselves. Often they're in cities and they're located in areas that usually they're surrounded by an audience of people that may not be listening to them.
That's exactly
you know
right.
What I'm saying,
right.
Yeah. So they have to reach out.
I mean, listening to your CDs, listening to the work that you two have done together, I can hear that work on stage with a symphony.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we both had that experience. She was a symphonic player.
There. Tell me to wrap it up, but I didn't see it on my screen. Oh, I guess I wasn't paying attention. My fault. They're saying break. They're having too much fun here. So I want to, folks, do not miss them. August 29th at Andy Musique, and you can go to Andy Musique's at there are 409 Charles Street. Telephone number is 410-385-2638. 410-385-2638. We'll have that on our website and get there and hear the cows. We're playing together. It's going to be an amazing night. We're definitely going to try to be there to help us remember also Katrina on that night. Stanley and Sonny Cowell, thank you both so much for being here in the studio.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for
having
us.
Appreciate it.
Good to have you all here. Thank you all for listening in and bringing the show and making it what it is. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephen Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Interns, Manifa Wilson and Shireen Yunus. Assistant producer, Sienna Greaves. Theme music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's show at steinershow.org. To podcast Mark Steiner Show and share with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. View your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA, 88.9 FM. The voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. That's Stanley Cowell that you're listening to. Take care.